بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة فأطال القيام حتى هممت بأمر سوء. قيل: وما هممت به؟ قال: هممت أن أجلس وأدعه. متفق عليه. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a narrator of the hadith. He says, I read salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night. That is, I read salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lengthened the qiyam. That is the standing posture in salah. He lengthened it to such an extent that I intended to do something evil or wrong. Question was put to me that what did you intend to do? He said, I intended to sit down and abandon the salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith, we discussed it previously, or it was mentioned while discussing one of the previous ahadith. This is amongst the many, many ahadith where sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in bear testimony to the very, very long salah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform. However, we should bear in mind that the salah here that is referred to in this instance is tahajjud salah. In tahajjud salah, we are encouraged to lengthen the qiyam, to lengthen the ruku, lengthen the sajda, as we see was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In normal circumstances, we find the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was leading the salah in normal farz salah, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take cognizance of the muqtadis, those that were behind him, and would not extend it to such an extent that it would become difficult for the elderly and the ill and those that are infirm. In fact, there's a hadith which mentioned that with the crying of a child, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would shorten the salah so as not to give taklif to the mother. But these type of riwayat, ulama mentioned, refer to what we call the nawafil, that is outside the farz salah, and particularly tahajjud salah. The question is raised that with regards to performing tahajjud salah in jama'at, the permissibility of it, or whether it's makruh, etc. Here, ulama-i kiram mentioned, particularly amongst the ahnaf, that is the Hanafi mazhab, that when it comes to performing tahajjud salah with jama'at, this is something that is discouraged. And however, there is nothing wrong if it occurs occasionally or once in a while. And we find that here Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu probably observed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tahajjud salah, and he chose to join behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was amongst what we call the khuddam, the servants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would make the khidmat of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very famous son of servant was Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Likewise, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, in fact, he is known as Sahibu Visadatihi wa Sahibu Siwakihi. He is known as the keeper of the pillow of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is known as the keeper of the miswak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, his coming and going in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to occur so commonly and so often. Such closeness he had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it is mentioned about Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that if somebody was not a resident of Madinah Munawwara, they were not aware about him, that who he was, etc., and they had to observe him, how close he was with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how often he would be seen coming and going from the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would form the incorrect impression that he is from the Ahle Bayt, that he is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is so closely he kept the sohbat in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and observed the practices of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this he describes, like we've heard in other ahadith, and we find that Imam Nawawi rahimullah is mentioning this incident in what we call Babul Mujahada. That is the chapter where one has to exert oneself for the deen of Allah ta'ala, exert oneself in amal. And the most perfect and the most beautiful example of this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And we find that Sahaba, they endeavored to follow him, to follow his example. But like we see in this particular incident, and the hadith that follows this one also, there the narrator is another Sahabi, but we find that the meaning is very similar. That despite the fact that they attempted to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such was the manner in which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam exerted himself. Because it comes in hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says, "Inni atqaakum lillah wa akhshaakum lahu." I have the most taqwa for Allah, and I have the most fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he would exert himself to such an extent. In this particular instance, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Madinah Munawwara. He's an elderly person. Some of his age would have probably been 55 or maybe 60 years of age. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was a young man following Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in salah. But he says that so long the salah was that this, look at how he describes it. He says, "Hamamtu bi amrin su," an evil intention entered my heart. From this we learn the importance of having respect for our seniors, having respect for our elders, having respect for those whom we acquire the knowledge of deen from. That Abdullah bin Mas'ud felt this remiss that I should abandon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a voluntary salah, nafil salah. It was not farz, it was not compulsory. Yet just to so long the qiyam, he said, I couldn't bear it. So then they asked him, the students asked that, what do you mean by an evil intention? So he explained the evil intention, what he regarded as an evil intention, he said was to sit down. Ulama Kiram mentioned that this is a masla, that if somebody is following an imam and the imam is reading such a long salah, as a result of which this person is unable to stand for so long behind that imam, then it is permissible in that instance for this person to sit down in the salah. So we find Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who says to his students that this thought entered my heart that let me sit down or let me abandon the salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a testimony for how long Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand in tahajjud salah. The other day we heard the verse of the Quran where Allah ta'ala in Surah Muzammil says, "Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layl wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak." That verily your Rabb knows. Allah addresses his Habibi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily your Rabb knows that you are standing in tahajjud salah or standing at night in salah, sometimes almost two-thirds the night. As we mentioned, if it was winter month, if the night is 12 hours long, what is Quran telling us? That the tahajjud salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 7 to 8 hours long. 7 to 8 hours long, standing in tahajjud salah till his mubarak feet used to swell. So we find that Abdullah bin Mas'ud says, I couldn't take it and I wanted to abandon the salah. So the question was put to him that what was this evil intention that you formed? He said to sit down or abandon the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another interesting point ulama ikram extract from this hadith is the importance of a student seeking clarification of something that he doesn't understand from his ustad. This expression of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, "Hamamtu bi amrin su," I decided to do something evil, could have meant many things. So straight away the students, those who he was teaching, they questioned the ustad, they questioned the sheikh, and they said, what do you mean? They sought clarification of that. So it is important, like it is mentioned, "Innama shifa'ul ayy as-su'al," that the cure to ignorance is to ask questions. Questions, provided they are necessary questions, provided they are good questions, are necessary and an integral part of acquiring knowledge. For students to ask their ustad with respect questions or to seek clarification in issues which are not absolutely clear. There's one latifa, one humorous example is given about unnecessary questions or silly questions. Unfortunately nowadays, whenever some ulama ikram have programs in the masjid, various places, they have a question and answer session. Sometimes totally impertinent questions got nothing to do with the topic. To such an extent that nowadays it is even discouraged to have question and answer sessions, because a lot of times the questions we ask are irrelevant or they put ourselves into trouble. Like I mentioned, there's one latifa mentioned about this amongst the students of Imam Wahniba rahmatullahi alayhi. Famous student was Imam Muhammad. He said there was one student in his class, 6 months passed, 6 months of dars, and not one single question the student asked. So one day Imam Muhammad got upset and he said, "Bhai, 6 months have passed, you haven't asked a single question. Has nothing occurred to you? Has nothing piqued your curiosity?" So he says, "Yes, there is one question I wanted to ask." So he asked, "What's the question?" He says, "You told us that when the sun set, we must make Maghrib Salah. What happens if the sun doesn't set?" So Imam Muhammad looked at him and he said, "Sukutuka khayru min kalamik." For you to keep quiet was better than you speaking. Because when you kept quiet, how little you knew, I didn't realize. Now that you've spoke how foolish you are, it has become apparent. So sometimes with the wrong questions, we give indication to our ignorance, our foolishness. So questions, clarification, this is something that is encouraged in Sharia, but the question should be pertinent and relevant to whatever is being discussed. Let the Rabbi Yusuf, this one.